current sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Friday, TGIF. You are locked into the hottest talk sports show around. That's right, Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Again, it is January 30th, folks. I tell you what, January has completely flown by, and I tell you what, one of my favorite days of the sporting year, and for many of you out there, has to be this Sunday. That's right, Super Bowl Sunday, folks. We'll be diving into that game and giving you our thoughts and predictions on who we think are going to win between the Patriots and the Seahawks. That's going to be a fun conversation. We'll also play for you if you happen to hit the bed a little bit early last night and missed Current Sports TV and my guest, Ken Manny, the head strength and conditioning coach over at Michigan State University. Well, you get to hear that sit down right here live on our airwaves. You don't want to miss that. We'll also be talking with NFL Corner, who played for the New England Patriots and LA Raiders, and also a Hall of Famer. That's right, Pro Football Hall of Famer back in 1997. Mike Haynes. Mike will join me on the show to talk about his fight with prostate cancer and also give his thoughts and predictions on the Super Bowl. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on the show, let's start it like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this January 30th, brought to you by the one, the only, Spencer Impalaziri.
Hi, I'm Spencer Impalaziri, and here are your quick hit headliners for today, January 30th. The Michigan State men's basketball team got a much-needed 71-51 victory over Rutgers Thursday afternoon. Tom Izzo said afterwards that the Spartans got back to its roots by running, rebounding well, and playing good defense. Brian Dawson had a double-double of 17 points and 11 rebounds, while Bryn Forbes chipped in 18 points. Michigan State will host Michigan in a 1 p.m. matchup Sunday. The Detroit Red Wings fell from the top spot in the Atlantic Division as they were defeated by the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-1 on Thursday. Winners of six straight entering yesterday's game, the Wings will return to action tomorrow against the New York Islanders. The reserves for the 2015 NBA All-Star teams were announced Thursday. Tim Duncan will be making his 15th All-Star game appearance for the Western Conference, and he is joined by the notable names of Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul. Three Atlanta Hawks headline Eastern Conference reserves, which include Grand Legend native Al Horford. Tiger Woods is playing in just his second tournament in the last 6 months as he competes in the Phoenix Open. Tiger finished the first round with a 2-over-73, the 47th-ranked player in the world, tied for 104th, nine shots back of 18-hole leader Ryan Palmer. The event drew a record crowd of over 118,000 people yesterday. Three-time Boston Marathon champion Rita Jebtu was given a two-year doping ban Friday after testing positive for the blood booster EPO last September. The ban will keep Jebtu out of this year's World Championships in Beijing and the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. After being burned by a non-interference call during the playoffs, Detroit Lions have proposed to the NFL about expanding the use of instant replay for coaching challenges. NFL Football Operations Chief Troy Vincent said there's no question instant replay and coaches' challenges will be the topics during next month's discussions by the league's influential competition committee. First place Grand Ledge travels to Lansing Sexton for CAAC Blue rivalry game tonight at 6 p.m. The matchup will feature star power as Sexton's R.J. Parker and Carlo Marble battle with Grand Ledge's Malik Adams and Cassell Jones. Grand Ledge will look to extend its undefeated record. Kobe Bryant suffered a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder last week. The injury is Bryant's third straight season-ending injury, but the Mamba isn't ready to retire. A day after surgery, Bryant announced his intention to return next season for his 20th in the league. Rehab is expected to take 9 months, with Kobe being ready to go in September. Novak Djokovic is headed to the Australian Open final after defeating defending champion Stan Wawrinka in five sets Thursday. Currently the world's top-ranked player, Djokovic will face Andy Murray in the final. Those are quick hit headliners, and the phone lines are now open.
All right, thanks a lot, Spencer. Appreciate that. Yes, folks, I tell you what, the Super Bowl is now just 2 days away. The New England Patriots, of course, taking on the Seattle Seahawks. A huge game. I tell you what, looking at a lot of predictions from a lot of ratings analysts out there in the TV broadcasting world, many feel as though that this weekend's Super Bowl could shatter the record for the most viewed Super Bowl of all time. Now, here I feel like I hear that every single year, but this is such a big matchup. I mean, because you got a you got two dynasties basically going at it here. Now I don't know if I could. Let's go back. Let's erase that statement. Okay, I'll say if the Seahawks do win on Sunday, you got a dynasty because it is so hard to win back-to-back Super Bowl championships at the NFL level, folks. Unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the most difficult things to do in all of sports. And now the Seahawks have the opportunity to do that this Sunday. So if they do win, yeah, crown them a dynasty. I wouldn't go as far as to say they are a dynasty just yet, though. The Patriots, yeah, you can crown them as that because look at the championships they had in the early 2000s. I mean, they are a juggernaut of a team. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, those two names alone hold so much weight in the world of football. Such a big game. Such a big game with a lot of implications and, you know, a lot of sidebars in this whole storyline as well with this whole Marshawn Lynch media conundrum where he doesn't even want to talk to the media. His press conferences have been pretty classic leading up to this game. And then, of course, Deflategate. Deflategate is another one of those sidebar conversations that everyone is talking about because many feel as though the Patriots should not be in the Super Bowl because they ideally, quote unquote, cheated. Now, again, there's still evidence coming out, so I don't want to condemn them before all evidence comes out, but man, does it look fishy. So you got all of these sidebar conversations going on, distractions, if you will, coupled with two of the best playing in the creme de la creme, the highest level of football competition. Man, it can't get any better than that. And you got Katy Perry performing at halftime. I mean, come on, who doesn't like Katy Perry, right? All right, folks. Well, we're going to be taking your calls this entire hour. If you want to give your thoughts and predictions on the Super Bowl, I want to hear them. Who do you think is going to win when the dust settles on Sunday night? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Folks, we've got a hot show in store for you today. Now, of course, 10 o'clock on a Thursday night can be late for some of you all, and that's why each and every Friday here on Current Sports, for those of you who didn't get a chance to stay up and catch Current Sports TV, well, we'll play that interview, that one-on-one sit-down with you today. That's right, and I got a fantastic opportunity to sit down with the one, the only. He is truly one of a kind. Ken Manning, who is the head strength and conditioning coach for Michigan State University. He has been at MSU for 20 years. That makes him actually the longest tenured coach in that position out of any other strength and conditioning coach in the Big Ten Conference. How about that? Altogether, he's been coaching for 40 years. He has an extensive resume that dates all the way back to his playing days. He actually played college football back in the day as well. We hit on all of that, and also, it's funny that in our headliner, Spencer talked about the Boston Marathon champ who is banned for doping, that's right, using PEDs, Rita Jepto, who is a three-time Boston Marathon champ. She was given a two-year doping ban today after testing positive for the blood booster, EPO, last September. Now, the ban will actually keep her out of this year's World Championships out in Beijing, China, and the 2016 Olympics out in Rio de Janeiro. So, I tell you what, I feel as though, like, every other month, I feel like we're hearing about a story about an athlete who has used PEDs or is currently using PEDs. It's certainly an interesting topic of discussion. And Ken has actually dedicated a lot of his work throughout his 40 years in the strength and conditioning business to sort of get the word out as to the detrimental effects that PEDs can have, not only on your body, but also your mind. He has many published articles out there that you can just Google, and I'm sure they'll pop right up. And he's done a great job at researching this topic. So he also talked about the realm of performance-enhancing drugs and how exactly he knows when a athlete is using them and the protocol that ensues after that finding. So you'll get to hear that fantastic interview in just a sec, folks. And also, we'll be reflecting on this Friday, like we do each and every Friday. A Reflection Friday is what we like to call it, where we take a look at the week that was in sports and sort of break down our favorite stories, moments, and possibly stories we didn't get to throughout the week here on the show. So again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 95-27. I briefly want to start the show by, of course, talking about a great and much-needed win for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. How about it, folks? Again, the MSU men's basketball team, they got that 71-51 win that they needed over Rutgers yesterday afternoon. Tom Izzo said afterwards that the Spartans, again, got back to its roots by running, rebounding well, and playing pretty solid defense. Now, Brandon Dawson was a man, folks. I tell you what, he came to play yesterday. He definitely came to play yesterday, folks. I mean, you talk about 17 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. That is called a man stat line, okay? Brandon Dawson, I always say, man. And, you know, it's funny because I interviewed Brandon a few weeks ago, actually. And Brandon kind of talked about how he is, you know, this team is going to go as far as he leads them, I guess, on the floor. Now, of course, they got 2 captains in Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine, who are that kind of the vocal leaders of the team. But Brandon Dawson leads by his play. And it seems as though once he gets going offensively, more specifically, because we all know, I mean, he's a walking double-double, folks. Especially the rebounding is there. Rebound numbers are always through the roof for Brandon Dawson. But sometimes he does struggle when it comes to scoring, the scoring part of things. Brandon Dawson is at his best, as we all know, in transition. Heck, this MSU men's basketball team is at its best when they are running. When they are running, attacking the rim, and opening things up. Point blank, period. Brandon Dawson was fantastic last night. Getting out on a break. The guards did a great job of finding him. And there were even some moments, a few eye-popping moments where they gave the ball to Brandon Dawson and he sort of backed down a little bit and had a nice little turnaround fadeaway jumper. Very surprising. It kind of reminded me. Brandon Dawson yesterday reminded me of the Brandon Dawson that we saw in the Big Ten tournament last year going into the NCAA tournament. That was the Brandon Dawson we saw yesterday. And we even saw him on the break getting a few assists. I mean, how about that thread the needle assist to Matt Costello on the break for the lay-in? I mean, my goodness, looking like Magic Johnson out there, my man. Also want to shout out Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes had a very solid game yesterday. Bryn actually was thrusted into the starting lineup because Javon Best, who was dealing with a nagging ankle injury, he couldn't go full force yesterday. So Bryn came in and started for him. And he came in and got, you know, 18 points. Tied a career high for him. Bryn Forbes was certainly hot, and he hit big shots when the team needed him to. So Bryn Forbes is also a key factor in that win yesterday. There are a few things that I think they need to clean up as the season goes on, especially when you play your rival on Sunday. I always say when Michigan and Michigan State get together, it doesn't matter what sport it is, records sort of go out the window. That is a rivalry where, you know, both teams, no matter what status of the season they've had up to that point, it kind of goes out the window and they bring it. Point blank, period. So they got to clean up the turnovers, though. Michigan State, 17 turnovers yesterday. They actually have 33 turnovers combined now in their last 2 games. That can be a glaring problem when going against any team. They got to take care of the ball. Certainly got to take care of the ball. And, you know, I always bring up, because I think these are the 2 guys, of course, Brandon Dawson. I mean, Brandon Dawson, don't get me wrong. Again, I do agree that on the floor, when Brandon Dawson gets going early, and it seems as though when Brandon, he's an ebb and flow type of player. And what I want to expound upon that by saying that when Brandon, if he starts a game good, you better believe that it's going to have a trickle down effect where he's going to most likely finish the game with pretty solid numbers. His confidence goes through the roof when you get him involved early and he gets off to a good start. It's when Brandon Dawson does not get off to those good starts. It's when his confidence gets shot a little bit and you just don't know. It's a crapshoot as to how Dawson is going to play. But from an emotional standpoint, the 2 guys that really start a drink is Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine. Point blank, period, guys. And, you know, looking at their numbers last night, kind of alarming. If you look at Denzel Valentine, he shot 2 of 13. Travis Trice, he had a tough shoot night as well. He went 4 for 11. So those 2 guys can't have numbers like that against the good teams in conference. Because let's be honest, Rutgers, I mean, this is their second season now playing in a new conference. Eddie Jordan, a relatively new coach for this team. You know, he's coming to a system where, you know, he's trying to change things around for Rutgers. But Rutgers isn't that great, point blank, period. So when you're playing the upper echelons in the conferences, Michigan State has to play better, and Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine have to shoot better. Point blank, period. And you know, for the health of this team is also, it could be, you know, it's something that's been a glaring problem for Michigan State. I feel like I've been saying that for the past two or three seasons now. They've always been dealing with injuries, but you know, yesterday, you know, looking at Joe Rexroth, our good friend of Current Sports, who is a beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, he talked about how Travis Trice actually has a rib injury now and a shoulder injury. His shoulder actually popped out of place during yesterday's game. So he's not 100%. And, of course, Javon Best, who had to sit out much of the beginning of the season due to injury, now has another ankle injury. So health is also big. So I'm curious to know how hard they will go the next few days leading up to this Michigan game on Sunday. We will see. And also, again, I totally agree with Tom Izzo when you talked about it got back to its roots. This team got back to its roots because this is a team. This is when Michigan State is successful. When they get out in transition, when they play good defense, and when they're shooting well. And we all know, I mean, Michigan State at one point to start the year led the nation. We're not talking about the conference here, but they led the nation in three-point efficiency, folks. And it seems as though, man, this is a team that, you know, these past few weeks has not been shooting well, point blank, period. And you know, you look at it, and they had 8 3-pointers yesterday. 8 3-pointers. They were hot. They finally had a good shooting day, something they've been waiting on for a while now. So, hey, you know, this is a great game that was much needed now. And this is a squad that definitely can make a lot of noise if they play this way. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, without further ado, let's get to our first guest for today's Current Sports. I am certainly excited to have him join me on the airwaves. Now, he is a former National Football League cornerback who played for the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Raiders. Now, he was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1997 and also has a very interesting backdrop story, folks. He was actually diagnosed at a prostate cancer event at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and now serves as the spokesperson for the Know Your Stats About Prostate Cancer campaign, speaking on their behalf to educate and encourage men to be proactive about their prostate health. Mike Haynes, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that great introduction.
Well, I really appreciate you joining me on the show, man. I've been waiting for this all week, my man. We finally got you on. And I definitely want to start off by talking about the Know Your Stats campaign. First off, Mike, can you kind of take us back? And am I reading that right? I mean, you were actually diagnosed with prostate cancer at an event at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, when and how did you find out that you had prostate cancer, Mike?
Well, it's not 100% accurate. It was actually at the launching of the campaign with the NFL and the Urology Care Foundation, where they were doing free screenings for retired players. And at the time, I worked at the NFL office, and they asked me to go down and try and encourage the guys to do the screening. And while I was there, these ladies that I now call angels encouraged me to sit down and take the simple blood test, and that might be more effective. And well, when I did, that led to me talking to the doctor there, and he started asking me a lot of questions, and I really didn't know the answers to, such as what's my baseline PSA, does prostate cancer run in my family, and things like that. And I was a little bit embarrassed that I didn't know the answer, but I'm sure a lot of guys would be that way. But when he started giving the statistics that 1 in 6 men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, and you compare that to 1 in 8 women who'd be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime, I thought that sounded like an awful lot of men. More men are going to get it than women are going to get breast cancer, but I never heard of it before, didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he said 1 in 5 African-American men would be diagnosed with it in their lifetime, well, when I got back home, I called my primary care doctor. He looked at my chart, and really, had that screening not taken place, I would not have had that conversation with my doctor. And so he said, you know, why don't we just send you for a biopsy? Well, that biopsy turned out positive. I had cancer in 9 of the 12 places that they, you know, they checked on my prostate. And of course, without having any symptoms, without knowing anything, feeling like I'm in great shape, and being diagnosed with the disease, when they asked me to be the spokesperson, I said, yes, absolutely, because I thought it was crazy the way I found out, and I wanted to try and make sure that other men didn't find out the same way.
Now for you, Mike, I mean, certainly that is such a jolting bit of news whenever you find out that you have cancer. And, you know, I'm pretty sure for a lot of our listeners out there, it probably strikes them to the heart because I'm pretty sure there are many people out there who have had a family member go through it. Me personally, I had my grandfather actually pass away from prostate cancer back in 2011. And it was such a jolting thing, and to see him go through that, man, it's a vivid memory that will never leave me. For you, Mike, I mean, when you got the news, I mean, what immediately went through your head?
Well, for you, first of all, you know that you're more likely to get it than most men because it runs in your family.
Right, exactly.
For you, it's 1 in 6 for all men. If it runs in your family, it's 1 in 3.
Oh, wow.
So, and exactly the same situation for you as me. My grandfather had it. But I didn't know it. I didn't know it until after I had my surgery, and I called some of my mom and my uncle, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's what Dad died with." And oh gosh, I didn't know. So anyway, but when you first hear that C word, you can imagine what happens. Fortunately, my wife was with me, and I don't think I heard anything that the doctor said for the next 10 minutes. She was there, deep in conversation with him and taking notes. And the first thing I said is, "I want it out. I want it out." And he said, "Well, Mike, the good news is we caught it early. You have plenty of time to think about this." And that's the other thing that I want men to know, that if you do have it, you want to have the same type of time frame I had. You got plenty of time to make a good decision. You don't have to rush. Really need to get educated about all the different treatment options. And one treatment option, believe it or not, is watchful waiting. You do nothing. You just watch it. You want to give yourself plenty of time to have those conversations with doctors.
Now, Mike, for all of the men out there listening, I mean, at what age should you start thinking about getting your prostate, you know, examined?
Well, according to the American Urological Association, which is they're the experts on this, they say that if it runs in your family, you probably should start earlier, but that should start with a conversation with your doctor, probably around in the 40s, you know, when you hit 40, but doesn't run in your family, you can wait until you're in your 50s. But I try to encourage guys, have the conversation as early as you can, at least put it on the radar. I was very fortunate. My doctor was tracking my PSA because I was an African-American, and I didn't know it. I was shocked when I called him and said, "What's my baseline?" And he opened up a chart and told me what it was. And I was lucky. I don't want other men to be lucky.
Right. Right. That is certainly true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with former NFL cornerback and Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Haynes. Now, Mike, you know, I want to talk a little about also the Know Your Stats about prostate cancer campaign and how big it's becoming. And when you go and do these talks like here on Current Sports, what's the reaction you get from different listeners and those involved that want to know more about it?
Well, we try to send everybody to our website, you know, which is knowyourstats.org. But I've been really blessed to have the help from a lot of great players. Deacon Jones, who's also a prostate cancer survivor, before he passed away, he would be with me at a lot of different events around the country, and in particular at the Super Bowl. Everybody loved Deacon and wanted to hear his thoughts on the Super Bowl picks, you know.
Right.
But also had Commissioner Goodell and a lot of players like Marcus Allen and Ronnie Lott, Michael Irving, Chris Carter, you know, on and on and on. And every year at that screening where I was, you know, where I had that conversation with the doctor, every year at that screening, we have some guys that we have to talk to because their PSA is really elevated or something, you know, doesn't mean you have cancer or anything, but we're having these conversations with a lot of guys every year and encourage them to get in. And unfortunately, quite often we'll find another guy that has prostate cancer.
Wow. And you know what, Mike? Something also I want to bring up, because I tell you what, in my family, you know, my family is filled with a lot of macho men. And, you know, they feel as like, oh, they're invincible to the world. And they'd say, "Oh, I don't need to go to the doctor. I'll do it." They push it off to, you know, a few months or maybe in a year from now. How often do you see men out there that just don't go to the doctor or want to go to the doctor because maybe they're a little nervous about the news they may hear and they just don't want to deal with the stress that may come about? I mean, do you find that a lot of men out there just don't go to the doctor, period?
Yeah, they just don't go. But, you know, the reason I'm the perfect spokesperson is because I'm just like most men.
Right.
I wasn't going either. And But when I found out that so many men are going to get it, and the best way to beat it or to win that fight is to find out early. So early detection is the key. And so if you're putting it off, that's wrong. I mean, you know, if they find out, they'll find out later. I don't care. Well, shoot, man, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's one of the reasons that I feel real fortunate to have these great football players. I mean, when you get a guy like Ronnie Lott looking into a camera saying, guys, get off the couch, man, and get in there, and that, you know, don't be afraid of that digital rectal exam. You know, it's and the other thing, we started recruiting women because guys are, you know, you get three or four tough guys together, they just get tougher. But you get their wives, involved in it, their girlfriends involved in it. They're like, no, you are going to get checked. You know, we want this positive outcome. And so we started recruiting women. As I said, everybody knows everything about breast cancer. No one knows anything about prostate cancer, where it's located, what a symptom of it is, what its function is, nothing. And we need to change that and try and, you know, start talking about our health a lot more. I think because women and childbearing, they start at a much younger age. They're talking about it with each other, and their moms get involved, you know.
Right.
And there's nothing like that for men. Nothing. As we get older, they say, hey, make sure you're getting this checked and that checked. But yeah, sure, you know.
Right.
Well, with a little encouragement from the women, I think that they might be we might be a little bit more affected. But the good news is that it's working. The awareness is working. When I first became the spokesperson about 5-6 years ago, it was 1 in 6 men would be diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I forgot, I'm a little remiss in that it's now changed. It's now 1 in 7. It's working, and we're raising money for research, and the doctor's doing a much better job. And we're just trying to make sure we do our part and make sure that men are aware of it. The PSA and the digital rectal exam are right now the best two tests out there to help men find out if they should be taking action or if they should have the biopsy. And that's all we have, and so we need to use it while we can.
That is fantastic. Again, folks, Mike Haynes, former NFL corner and Pro Football Hall of Famer. Before I shift gears, because I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl as well, Mike, before I let you go here. For those out there listening, though, can you remind them how they can get more information about the Know Your Stats campaign?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can you remind folks out there how they can get more info about the Know Your Stats campaign?
Yeah, just go to the website, knowyourstats.org.
There you go, folks. There you go. Get educated. It could definitely save a life or two. All right, folks. Now, Mike, for you, you played for the New England Patriots and L.A. Raiders at the time, so I can pretty much guess who you're rooting for this weekend. Am I pretty much safe to say you're rooting for the Pats?
Well, let's just say this. I used to wear number 40, and that jersey was retired in New England.
Right, exactly. Let's just there we go. That pretty much tells us, right?
Yeah.
All right, so a big matchup. You got, of course, Tom Brady and the Patriots going against that stingy Seattle Seahawks defense. It also, I tell you what, on both sides of the field, offensively, they're pretty darn good as well. What do you think is going to happen in this game? What do you think has it?
Well, you know, I'm biased, but I really believe I'm a knowledgeable guy and all that. So I don't know what my record is in picking the winners and everything, but I'm really strongly leaning to the Patriots. The Seattle, I've always said the team with the best defense is going to win, and the Seattle Seahawks right now are being known for having the best defense in the NFL. But I think the Patriot defense is underrated. Now, I don't know what the statistics are with regard to who has the best defense in the NFL last year, and I don't know if the Seahawks are number one and the Patriots are number 32. I have no idea.
Right.
You know, and maybe you have that information. But because of the injuries that we hear about for Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, two of their big stars, I mean, that's like two people in your arsenal that are banged up, and everybody knows it. So you would think that the Patriots would attack those guys in their game plan, that they would make them make tackles, and so you would expect the Patriots to run more with their big running backs over there to make Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman tackle. And then hopefully throw crossing routes. I think both teams will be running a lot of crossing routes. And the reason is because if they're using man-to-man defense, you can create separation by the receiver running, say, underneath the linebacker, and meaning the defensive back is going to have to run over the top of that linebacker. So that creates the separation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the ball to him, and he's got a lot of green grass in front of him to run towards the sideline. And if he's super fast, he might be able to make the turn.
Certainly. That's a great breakdown there, Mike. And also, I got to ask you about this. I mean, it is certainly the elephant in the room that we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks now here on Current Sports. You know what's coming, Deflategate. 11 of the 12 footballs that the Patriots were using against the Indianapolis Colts in that AFC Championship game were found to have lower PSIs than they were supposed to. Now for you, Mike, I got to ask, during your playing days, I'm pretty sure, you know, there's an old saying that goes, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of teams that kind of push that envelope as to try and gain any competitive advantage. For you, was it common at all for quarterbacks back in your day to have less air in a football? And just how advantageous is that for a team?
Well, I have no idea. Like, and one, I don't know how much air is let out and if you can take if you can tell a difference. And I know there's this huge accusation that the Patriots did that, but for me, Robert Kraft said it didn't happen. Their people didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick said it didn't happen. Tom Brady said it didn't happen. So I'm leaning with it didn't happen. And if it did happen, they didn't know about it. Yesterday I did an interview on Chris Mad Dog show, and he was giving me all this information about how the ball boy went into a bathroom or something or some room
mm-hmm.
and came out later. And so then I actually found out that he was in this room for 90 seconds, 90 seconds. So if he was letting air out of balls in 90 seconds, how many balls can you let the air out of in 90 seconds?
Right.
I have no idea. So all this stuff is like new information to me. And I just feel like it's a distraction from the game. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be a big enough distraction that it's going to hurt the Patriots. The other thing is they said that in the second half of the game where this all was became known is they had the legitimate ball. Well, it's the second half of the game. It's when the Patriots blew out their competition.
Right.
You know, so that doesn't make any sense to me. And so, but again, I really don't know. I'm not an expert on this. I don't know about how much air. If you let a lot of air out, would I be able to tell the difference? You know, I don't know. I have no idea. So
gotcha.
I can't imagine it being so deflated. If it's really deflated, I think everyone would notice it. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Everyone. So as soon as the ball is incomplete and they throw the ball to the official, he'd say, "Hey, what's wrong with this ball?"
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
So I just don't know. It's a good question, and everybody wants to know the answer to that. But I just at this point don't think I have enough information.
Yeah, it's certainly become a huge distraction from the game itself, which is very unfortunate. But all right, Mike, the great Mike Haynes, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, give me a score real quick. Give me a score prediction.
I've been predicting 28-20 Patriots.
28-20 Patriots. Well, there you have that. Folks, do you agree with it? Call in 517-355-9527. There you have it. Mike Haynes, former NFL corner and Pro Football Hall of Famer. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, man.
Gotta love that, man. What a great take there. All right, folks, let's hit our first break of the show. When we come back, if you happen to snore a little early yesterday, hey, we got your back. If you miss Current Sports at 10 p.m., you'll get to hear my one-on-one with Ken Manny, the head strength and conditioning coach over at Michigan State University. You don't want to miss that. Keep it locked. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I have a few tweets here to read. Well, just two tweets. Again, you can also tweet me, and I'll read your tweet live here on the air on Current Sports. This one comes from at John Freeberg 70. He says he wants to weigh in on, the MSU men's basketball team as they got their win yesterday over Rutgers. And he says, quote, Spartans got their win by 20 points just like I wanted. That's right, John. Pretty solid game from the Spartans last night. And also at the Antoine Moore, he says that the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. So there you have that. There's Antoine's prediction. Thanks a lot, Antoine, for weighing in. And also breaking news from the NBA. Of course, Kobe Bryant, as Spencer just told us in our current sports quick hit headliners, Kobe Bryant is out for the rest of the year with that torn rotator cuff. And he won't be able to play in the All-Star game. So they have gotten and decided to make DeMarcus Cousins of the Sacramento Kings his replacement, which I 1,000% do not agree with. I feel like Damian Lillard got snubbed, and he just got snubbed again. Gosh, how does he not make the All-Star team? I'll save that rant for another time, folks. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. As always, folks, I am the host, Al Martin. Well, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, you know each and every Friday here on the radio show, we got you back. And we'll play that one-on-one of whoever that guest was. Now, last night, I got the incredible opportunity to sit down with a man who is a staple for the MSU athletic community, Ken Manny. He is the head strength and conditioning coach at Michigan State University and has been for the past 20 years now. And if you ever have tuned in to The Journey on the Big Ten Network or any documentary done, because there's been many done on Ken Manny, he is one intense guy. Just ridiculously intense. Have you ever seen him work out his players? I mean, it's kind of scary. I mean, my goodness, man, he goes all in, folks. So I had to start off our sit down by asking, where does the foundation of that intensity stem from?
I have a passion for what I do, Al. That's what it is. Intensity, whatever you want to call it, but I love what I do. I've got the greatest job in America. That's how I feel. I work at a world-class university with world-class people. I get to work with individuals like Darian Harris, who's out here tonight.
Yep.
And no, life doesn't get any better than that. You can have an impact on these young people, and that's a daily, you know, a daily challenge for me personally. And I accept that challenge. I love that challenge. And I just love working with these guys. And then watching the young men they eventually become, that's truly what it is. So
that's
intensity,
the best part. Right.
Passion, enthusiasm, dedication, whatever you want to call it. It really comes from the heart. So
now let's go to the origin of it. I mean, you've total years. I mean, you actually have 40 years of coaching under your belt, 20
right.
at MSU. What made you want to get in this profession?
Probably the coaches that I had, you know, growing up. And some of the greatest influences on my life were coaches and teachers, you know, going back to really elementary school. So, you know, especially, you know, male figures, the coaches that you have on the field, seeing their passion, seeing their enthusiasm, see how dedicated they are to helping you become a better person. That inspired me. And so I don't think there was any question. By the time I came out of high school, I knew that I eventually wanted to go back and give back, be a teacher and a coach, which is what happened.
Now, I tell you what, dealing with so many kids on a regular basis, Ken, I mean, every kid, you know, you have to kind of have a different approach for every kid, because not, you know, one technique that may motivate one player may not work on another player. How would you describe your motivational technique in getting to know the athletes, the student athletes that you work with?
Well, first of all, you got to get to know them as individuals. And I do that one-on-one with them. So if I really want to break it down with each kid, I've got to get that kid aside, bring him into my office, talk to them individually, get to know them. But if we're in a big group setting, if I've got 10, 20, 30, 40 guys in front of me, and Darian will tell you this, I'm not adjusting anybody's personality. You better be adjusting my personality, because we got work to do.
So it's not the other way around, because a lot of people say that. I mean, motivating different kids. I mean, hey, okay, maybe I have to have a different approach to dealing with this one as opposed to the other.
Well, I think you do that on an individual basis.
Okay.
Like I said, but when it comes time to go to work, and you've got a large group in front of you, and you've all got to lock arms and go get it shoulder to shoulder, everybody's got to be on board and let's go. We don't have time to, you know. Are you sure you want to do this?
Right.
One of those things.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
Here we go.
So kind of take me into a Ken Manny workout. I mean, you know, when you first get an individual in the workout room, the weight room, if you will, I mean, what is it like working out with you, Ken?
Well, we're gonna focus on several different things. We have I think we have as comprehensive, if not more so, program than anybody in the country. We're gonna work on your flexibility, your speed, your power, your explosiveness. We're going to get some good muscle weight on you, and we're going to approach these things on different days, different settings, with different protocols. But we're going to eventually get this done. So it's really different every day, and there's a different program every day because the target area is different for what we're trying to do. It might fit into any one of those areas I just mentioned, any one of those components. Then we've got to combine all those and compartmentalize them so the final product has all those in place when we're done.
So there's a lot of components to that discussion.
A lot.
What's the toughest part of your job, Ken?
I really don't have a tough part of my job. I enjoy every single minute of it. I get up and I can't wait to go to work. Every day is a clean slate. Here we go. Let's have some fun. Whenever I'm feeling a little bit tired or maybe a little bit worn out or whatever, I just look up at the sign right above my desk by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We just honored him last week. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That's my favorite quote of Dr. King's. And he applied that to so many aspects of his life. I apply it to coaching and dealing with young people every day. So what are you doing for others? That's what it's all about. So I just look at that and I go, okay, that's why I'm here. I got to do something for some other people. And they're walking through the door in about 5 minutes. So here we go. Let's go get it.
I love that. Give it up for that, guys. Oh, what a message. Now, I want to dive into another part and component that has certainly gotten a lot of press, you know, within the past 5 years, 10 years, I mean, heck, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that is PED use. Now, I tell you what, both in 2006 and in 2007, you were named to a who's who among America's teachers in recognition for your numerous ongoing research in this area. Why is PED use so important to you, and what detrimental effects can it have on an athlete, both mentally and physically, Ken?
Well, first off, why I'm so adamant about it is I'm a parent, all right? And I know what these drugs can do to young people. And the problem, we hear so much about it, Al, in the professional ranks. A little bit in the collegiate ranks, but not so much. We don't hear a lot about it in the high school and really junior high ranks. And that's where the brunt of the problem is. It's at the young levels, especially in high school.
So this is where the foundation lies in high school. I mean, they just don't start usually using PEDs in college. It starts in high school.
Usually in high school, and it works its way up. And usually by the time they get to college, the ones that have been inculcated with this and have been brought up in that system or had that kind of background, they bring it to college with them. And then it stays with them unless, there's some kind of, they have some sort of epiphany or someone approaches them, catches them, they test positive or whatever. But here's my whole thing with that. I've always termed those drugs, PEDs, primarily the anabolic steroid classifications, as external growth with concurrent internal death. So I get the question a lot, well, do they work? Well, do they work in terms of what? Are they going to accelerate your physical growth, your muscularity, all the things that especially the young male athletes are looking for? Mm-hmm. Probably, yes. They probably will help you in terms of that. But while that's going on, also what's going on inside you is your cardiovascular system is getting shot. It's getting beat up. Your liver and kidneys are getting beat up because they're working overtime. What are you actually doing when you put those drugs in your system? You're introducing a foreign synthetic substance to your system, substances which your body already normally produces, and therefore your body's going to start shutting down its normal production because it senses, well, I've got enough of this stuff in me. So bad things start happening as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And your bad cholesterol goes up. That's where it affects your cardiovascular system. Your liver, which cleans out your entire system, anything you put in your body eventually goes through your liver.
Right.
So you're putting all these drugs in there, overloading your body with drugs. Something's got to clean that out. What's got to clean it out? Your liver. So there's all kind of internal problems going on. And that's the message that I try to get out to young people and parents and coaches with regard to these drugs. So without getting overly technical, maybe I have already, but a lot of bad stuff's going on inside of you that you don't see.
Ken, you getting the chance to witness this firsthand, possibly. I mean, what are the signs that trigger off in your mind that, hey, this individual may be using these drugs?
Well, when there's just an accelerated growth way over and above what that young man or really young woman's experienced, and you've been around them for quite a long time, and you've seen them come along gradually, slowly. Then all of a sudden, they just take off in terms of the physical growth, strength in the weight room. Their PRs just go through the
roof.
In
what time span do you usually see that?
Oh, you know, we're talking about within like a few months or less. Okay, it could be a matter of weeks, really.
Right.
And then you see personality changes too. Now you not only see physical changes in them coming at a rapid, almost unbelievable rate, their personalities will change too. You'll see young people who were normally very easygoing, very mild-mannered, you know, very courteous, polite, and all the good things. All of a sudden, they're getting in trouble for being loud in class, getting in trouble, getting in fights, over-aggressive to the point where they're doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So there are some definite personality changes you can see in them.
And you mentioned women. I mean, normally I feel as though we place this stigma on steroids that, you know, is the macho man drug. You know, if you want to get bigger, that's what you normally see when you talk about an athlete, whether it be at the pro ranks or the college ranks.
And that's right, Al. But here's the thing. Most of these kids at that level that use these drugs are not athletes. They're looking to change their physical appearance, male and female. They want to be, you know, tuned in with the way they perceive their body should look. You know, they want to be ripped. They want to be buff. They want to be all that stuff. And that applies to females, too. They want to be in that classification, too. So they're trying to change their bodies for appearance sake.
Right.
Okay. And of course, you have the, you know, segment of people that are in athletics and are trying to use them for what, you know, the PED, the performance enhancing aspects of them. And really, I question whether they really... Performance enhancing may be a misnomer. Okay, just
is
because.
That so? Yeah. Does it depend on the sport too? I feel like it depends on the sport,
you know,
as well.
There's no research out there that shows that your skill levels are going to increase exponentially with this accelerated growth and development. You have to have some skills.
Right.
You know, you just can't have this.
This doesn't magically have. This isn't a magic pill.
No,
basically.
It is not. They are not. And so when you look at the entire picture. There's a whole lot more bad than good going on with these things. So, and you really can't use them for any indefinite period of time without suffering some sort of health consequences. And that's the message that I try to get out to young people.
Give it up for Gad, guys. That's a great message as well. Before we let the 12th man get at you, Ken, I want to talk about, again, 20 years at Michigan State University. I mean, an unbelievable tenure. You worked with Coach D'Antonio for quite some time. I mean, your guys' history extends all the way back to Ohio State. I mean, what's it like working for Coach D?
It's like working for obviously one of your best friends. He's like a brother to me in so many ways. Our thinking just parallels, you know, each other in so many ways. So I'm blessed. I am truly blessed at this stage of my career to be working with and for one of my great friends, and our families are just, and he's a great family man, and I want to believe that I am too, and we just kind of meshed, and there's been, I can't thank the Lord enough for, you know, putting me in a situation, really, as I said, at this stage of my career. So.
And you know what, there's a perception that you've definitely heard, the national perception of Coach D, that he's, you know, this stale-faced, real serious guy, but you know, I've sat down with him a few times, and he's a really hilarious guy. I mean, what's it like? What's Coach D like away from the gridiron?
The Coach D I know is very loving, very personable, very caring. He's truly, and I don't use this term loosely, so when I say it, I mean it. He is truly a great man. He is truly a great man. He is a man worth following. And that's what I tell these guys. I use that term with our players all the time. Eventually be a man worth following. That is one of your most important goals in life. And certainly Coach D is a man worth following.
Gotta love that. Ken, you got 5 more minutes?
I got as long as you want.
Oh, man, we're gonna do this a two-part series, and you'll be here next week. No, I'm joking. Ken, stick around, my man.
I'm sticking.
The 12th man starts right now.
Bring it on, 12th man.
All right. Well, this is my favorite part of current sports, where I stop playing the interview guy and we hand that duty over to our 12-man audience, okay? We've got our live studio audience this week with a lot of great questions for head MSU strength and conditioning coach Ken Manning. You ready, Ken?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
First up is Rachel from Clarkson. Rachel, how are you doing, and what is your question?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great, great.
Awesome. Hi, Rachel.
So I want to know, would you attribute Michigan State's furious comeback in the Cotton Bowl to your fourth quarter conditioning program?
No. First and foremost, I would attribute the great comeback in the Cotton Bowl game to the great young men that Mark D'Antonio and his staff have recruited to play football for the Michigan State Spartans. That was a true test of character, and you recruit that character. So really, I had very little to do with it, believe me. The kind of young men that are coming in here as a result of Coach D and his staff going out and looking for good men that are good students and good football players, and then we take it from there. But what those kids did in that game, that you have to reach deep down inside you. And if the fourth quarter program contributed, then so be it. But I tell you what, first and foremost, it comes from the type of young men that we have playing in this program.
Great question, Rachel. Get up for Rachel. Great. All right. Next, we have Haley from Sterling Heights. Haley, how you doing, and what's your question?
Besides football, what is your favorite sport to coach?
Hi, Haley. I love all sports. There's probably not a sport that I would look at and say, I'm not much about that. I love anything going on in the competitive arena, I love. I obviously love watching our basketball teams compete, our hockey team. But really, baseball, softball, I mean, there's all of them. And, you know, we try to get to as many of our men's and women's sports as we possibly can when we have the time. So we support all of them. And, gosh, I love them all.
He loves them all. Haley, great question. Give it up for Haley. All right. Next, we've got Will from Hartford. Will, what's your question?
What do you think of Deflategate?
Oh, Deflategate. What do you think of Deflategate? Everybody's talking about it.
You know, honestly, I don't think much of it, quite frankly. I mean,
that's the best answer I've ever heard when it comes to this subject.
I would just say this. You know, whatever happened there happened, and I don't want to implicate anyone or anything, and I would just say this. I would hope that no one tried to undermine the rules and regulations of the league and try to circumvent those for gain in any way that was illegal and unethical. That's what I would hope. I hope it all just inflates and blows away. How about that?
There you go. Good answer. Get up for Will.
All right, Will.
All right. All right. Next is Angie from Lansing. How you doing, Angie?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. So after listening to you talk, I kind of feel like maybe my question is far-fetched. Feeling your love for the Spartan family. However, if you were offered a job as a strength and conditioning coach for any NFL team, which team would you hope it to be and why?
Well, Angie, that's a great question. I just got to tell you, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers. I always have.
Oh, wow.
I'm from Steubenville, Ohio, which is chock full of Cleveland Browns fans, just so you know that. But we're within 40 miles of the Pittsburgh area. So there was a large contingent of Steeler fans there as well. So, there's no question, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they're just about everything that, you know, that I think I'd like to be about, and I hope I am about that, just hard hat, tough, gritty, you know, mentality that they have. So.
Ah, yes, the black and gold. No surprise there. I can definitely see Ken Manny probably rocking black and gold years from now. Who knows, though? But again, Ken Manny, the head strength and conditioning coach for Michigan State University, was a fantastic sit-down. Again, a huge shout-out to all of you who showed up to that taping. Again, check it out right now if you want to get the visual of that interview and so much more at video.wker.org. Well, 5 minutes left. Hey, let's end the show and end the week like we always do on Fridays. Here is Reflection Friday. Ah, yes, Reflection Friday. Man, I love that little piano riff. All right, folks, well, let's reflect a little bit and also sort of go into the future and predict the games on Sunday. Right now, live in the current sports radio studio, I have three of the outstanding students who are working with us this semester on current sports. We've got Chris, Kyrie, and Spencer. Fellas, how you guys doing?
Great, man. How you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Okay, they're in here because each and every Friday, on the eve of the Super Bowl, on the eve of Super Bowl Sunday, I guess you could say 2 days before the eve, right? We throw out predictions on who we think is going to win the game. So I want to start from left to right. Chris, who you got and why?
Well, I've told you before, Al. I told you before the Green Bay game, and I'll say it again. The Seattle Seahawks are one of the best teams that I've ever seen. They have the best defense of this generation, and after that Green Bay game, there's no doubt that they are just mentally resilient. I'm taking Seattle here 24-17. I love the matchup for Gronkowski. I think that, I love the matchup for the Seahawks on Gronkowski. I think Cam Chancellor shuts him down. If they line him up out wide, I think Sherman and Maxwell are, you know, good for that. So I'm taking Seahawks 24, New England 17.
Nice, close game though. All right, so we got one Seahawks. So I'm trying to think. Okay, Mike had the Patriots. So we got Patriots, we got Seahawks. Of course, we had a few tweets as well. Kyrie, who you got and why?
I agree with Chris. I have the Seahawks 28-17. They have the best run game. They led in every statistical category. I think Russell Wilson gets outside the pocket and really creates plays with his legs. The Patriots really going to have to stack the box, and that's going to leave a lot of openings on the outside. So if Russell Wilson can get outside, it's going to be tough for the Patriots to contain him.
Give me a score.
28-17 Seahawks.
28-17. There you have that. And last but certainly not least, Spencer, how you doing, man? Who you got and why?
You know, I'm going to go with Seahawks as well. I think I'm going to go 31-27. I think it could be a little high scoring. Russell Wilson, I think, is going to bounce back. But, you know, Seahawks, I have Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman battling injuries. I think Patriots might be able to put up some points there.
A lot of people have been throwing around those injuries. Those injuries to Sherman and Thomas could be big factors. We'll see. The only time will tell. Okay. All right. And last but certainly not least, our fantastic engineer of current sports, Alex Shark. Alex, who you got, my man?
Yeah, you know, everyone's saying it's kind of split. I kind of find it's 50-50. Among a lot of people, that some people think the Seahawks, some think the Patriots. I don't think there's a clear-cut winner. Like you said, the injuries are a big part of it. However, I do think that overall, the Seahawks will pull it out still and will continue. Guys, you agree?
Definitely.
All right. Well, there we go. I am also going to be boring, and I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks as well. I think Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch against that pass defense, he's going to be just a juggernaut. And you know what? The Seahawks defense, I tell you what, really a matchup, and a guy I'm going to be keyed in on is Richard Sherman, folks, because, again, he is battling an injury. Interesting statistic before we end the show here. Of the 10 passes that have been thrown Richard Sherman's way this postseason, Sherman has intercepted two of them and broken up three. That is unbelievable. Now, he's only allowed 4 completions for 56 yards and a QB rating of 19.2. Yeah, Richard Sherman is pretty good, folks. No touchdowns allowed either. So, going to be a fun matchup, but I am also going with the Seattle Seahawks. If I had to choose a score, I'm going to go 27-24. Yeah, they squeak it out with a last-minute field goal. So, folks, what do you think? Again, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports. Also, tweet me at AlMartinWKR. One Reflection Friday for me. I have to acknowledge the great Tom Izzo. It is Izzo's 60th birthday today. Happy birthday, Tom. Enjoy it. Hopefully he can get a good birthday present this Sunday as they take on U of M and possibly get a win over him. So only time will tell with that one. Well, folks, we unfortunately are out of time. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic and safe Super Bowl weekend, and be easy, people.